Hello and welcome to The Sports Doctor. I'm Chris Fox, joined by Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist on Trade Street in Aurora. Hello, Dr. Weil.
Hey, Chris, good evening to you. Good to see you. This evening, I thought we'd kick around our usual group of topics, talk a little bit about the fact that May is National Physical Fitness and Sports Month. It seems that the beginning of the spring, summer, it's a great time to have fitness and sports month. You want to talk a little bit about that? I want to talk about it was my third anniversary writing for the Naperville Sun and the Sun Group, Aurora Beacon, my Sports Doctor column, and had a column about some past columns and some current thoughts, maybe touch a little bit on that. There was a great article a week and a half or so in the Suburban Chicago Trib about our radio show, Chris. Did you get a kick out of that? Was that fun?
Paul Latour.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the story.
Yes, Paul. Paul is the guy's a talented writer. This is the second story that he's done about me, the one that kicked off the whole Olympic excitement with Evan Lysacek and the Winter Games. So, yes, thanks, Paul, for that article. And if we get a chance, we'll talk a little bit. Maybe we'll touch on Tiger Woods - Ben Roethlisberger. Did I get his name right?
Yes.
Roethlisberger. Some of the statistics, Chris, this is not an old story. It is, but it is new in its importance, and it's very, very, very much relevant.
And these are statistics according to?
These are the national groups of pediatrics and the national groups of physical fitness, of family planning, of fitness groups that talk about nearly half of American youths from maybe 12 to 21 years of age are not vigorously active on a routine basis. And you then take a look at the fact that we've talked about for, 10, 12 years longer, that the amount of overweight, obese children has more than doubled over the past 30 years. So the challenges of the back-breaking expenses, the inclusion of a whole new world of health-challenged kids, the statistics that average child spends 3, 4, 5 hours with TV and electric media, and it's just this type of thing, with the good sides of sports. You know, the fact that more and more boomers are active and trying to be active, and I think set good examples. We have circled the wagons. First Lady, Michelle Obama. There's a lot more attention now, Chris, wouldn't you say, to say the least, with the whole overweight, obesity, - children concern?
Yes. I always seem to mention the, I'm not always pessimistic, but you wonder, how is it going to improve? How is it going to get better? We can identify all kinds of problems, but can you see 10 years from now?
You've got to include our plan. You have to include Let's Get Them Walking.
And is that going to happen?
You see what it takes to make any kind of changes sometimes, even when you're not, you think that people would pick up on so many different things, which is how do you regularly make a true difference in these stats where half the kids are not active? To two-thirds. What do? I think, again, you look at schools, because schools deal with almost all the kids, especially early, almost all of them, and you deal with something that's easy, consistent, and non-competitive, like walking. And you then have some time, tincture of time, to make a difference, along with all these other things we're doing, which is paying attention to vending machines and all this attention to nutrition.
It's hard, though, to tell people what to do. Do you want the government stepping in and saying, you can't eat this, you can't drink that?
No, I think the word can't is probably too much, much too heavy a word. I think if you said to me, do you want the government to step in and say, hey, listen, this is what we learned, this is what we know about your health, this is what the facts are regarding how much it's costing all of us, you know, informing us. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But in order to make a change, you know, besides, you know, we've been fooled many times before. We're on the show with so many people in personal training and fitness and health and psychology. What I leave out. Where you're looking at the challenges of changing very, very, very well-entrenched habits with overwhelming financial power. The food industry, the fast food industry, the games, iPod, the computer is gigantic.
That's why I'm wondering, will we see a day 5-10 years from now? New study shows children are in better shape. Obesity has dropped.
I think you will. I think what we've seen, now, even though we mentioned that it's double, more than doubled over 30 years. For the most part, we've stopped the slide. We really, really have. Now, you could always also argue the ups and downs of the competitiveness that we see. I mean, ESPN's going to be covering all sorts of regional and local World Series Little League games. There's been a lot of criticism about that. How do you feel about that? You think it's too much pressure on young kids, or is it great stuff?
Good question. I'm trying to think of being a child at that age,
great
11,
stuff.
12 years old. And if you, I'm going to be on ESPN. We might be on TV. We have a story about us in the paper.
Big news.
I think that's good.
Yes. And I think if you can mix that with some of the less than reality, maybe the kinds of pressures. That, I mean, you know, let's LeBron James was. King James is on the front cover of Sports Illustrated as, what, a 15-year-old, 16-year-old. He was a junior, sophomore, junior in high school. And again, on the Prodigy Sports we talk about, you're talking about earlier and earlier and earlier, these kinds of pressures. So fitness for life and good health and the importance of fitness, forget competitive sports. The walking doesn't have anything to do with competitiveness. You know, some of the stats, we've talked about it before, Chris, and you know, you're listening to the Sports Doctor here on WDCB 90.9 FM. Chris Fox, myself, Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, talking a little sports medicine here. The idea of fitness and wellness being a very, very important part of what everybody does makes constant sense. But we're a very, very busy society. Very, very busy. We're a changed society with single parents and all of these kinds of demands, safety issues, the legal issues. You can't, it's hard for kids to play anywhere because somebody might sue somebody over equipment or something like that. So the what can fool you sometimes is in the suburban areas, we've talked about it, where you'd say, gee, you know, there's all these health clubs and there's fitness clubs, and it seems that we're really paying big, big attention. But then you, because you take a look at the fact, competitive sports, again in school, by the time you're in high school, 75% of the school population is not on any kind of a team. So if they aren't doing something intramurals-wise, I remember my son Adam and a lot of his friends, as he was playing sports in high school, through high school, some of his friends who weren't, really weren't doing very much physically at all. You know, they had some of the pickup stuff, but it was already getting into the information age, MTV and, you know, cell phones and all this other stuff.
Whereas, what would you say when you were a teenager? Was there just more, you know, pickup basketball, pickup baseball?
Yes, I think, you know, again, especially, and we have to remember this very, very much so, and especially when you're touching up on Little League and exploiting kids, whatever it might be, ESPN, activity and fitness for children means fun, means playing. And as organized playing, we get less and less. We've discussed on the Sports Doctor the challenge of physical education being dropped. But if your physical education consisted of walking half hour, 45 minutes every day from kindergarten through 12th grade, and at the same time, if you were on a team, great. You were part of the fact that there was no more junk in school. Lunches were paying attention. I really believe in your 5-10 years, 10-20 years, you'd make big changes. You'd set habits for life. You know, the late Phil Lawler, who passed away last month, a pioneer in the whole children's early fitness movement, and the great things he did besides being a pitching coach for almost 30 years at Naperville Central High School was where he initiated that PE for life in the middle school, a classroom, report cards, attention to fitness as much as you would have attention to
your grades,
your academic grade. So no doubt about it, very, very important. Along those lines, you know, the happy third anniversary sports doctor. All right. You know, sometimes you sit down and you say, where'd the time go, man? You know, we were just talking with Irene, who runs everything around this place here, right at the front desk, asking us, when did you guys first record some of the sports doctor here at WDCB? And we were going back more than 15 years, I think, to like the 17-year. We're going to get it and report it to you precisisely how long it's been we've been doing. You've been with me about 15 years. And
correct.
I preceded you.
Correct.
By maybe a couple of years here on the Sports Doctor, so we're going to check it out. But in the newspaper realm, I just celebrated this month, Chris, the third anniversary. And some of the topics, the article was about a little bit of history of some headlines from 07, 08, 09. Headlines like, the link of drugs and sports runs deep.
Oh, we've covered that here.
Headlines like girls' knee problems can be foot-related. Orthotics could be the right fit. Playing in pain is never smart. 2 months of tremendous hoopla with Evan Lysacek. In sports, it all starts with the feet. And good articles, one and all, if I might say so myself. Good topics, things we've talked about, you know, so often, and some current thoughts about some of these topics, which are, of course, ongoing and might have some up-to-date info in some way, shape, or form, what some of our current, thoughts might be. You know, we could start out with the, as we speak, within a couple of weeks is the final of Dancing with the Stars. Evan's in the Final Four. He's in the semifinals. It's very, very exciting. You'll check the check my website, thesportsdoctorradio.com. Call my office. We'll have information on what party, if what, where we're gonna have, probably on the 25th of May, to see who wins, man, that mirror trophy. It's been a great couple of months. It's been so exciting. Going back to the Winter Olympics and the, I don't know how many shows and different people we've had involving with Evan, and it was very, very exciting to see the gold medal and to watch what's happening and I mentioned it in the article, Chris, is to understand that we're watching one of the great physical feats in sports performance, which is being able to do 2-3 nights a week figure skating and jumping and twirling and touring and doing at that level, Dancing with the Stars. You better be an Olympian, and he is.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but who's left with him?
Is Ocho Cinco is still in?
The football player from Cincinnati. Ocho Cinco.
Aaron Andrews.
Of ESPN.
Of ESPN. And Nicole, I can never remember her last name, who that fabulous dancer from Pussycat Dolls. That's the Final Four, and there are no losers. They're all winners. It's great to see. You know, we've written numerous times, and I wanted to talk about the fact, again, in sports it all starts with the feet, and the whole idea that so much of the stuff we see in overuse problems when it comes to the young boy or girl with the shin splints, the baby boomer jogger with the knee discomfort, the individual who's standing on the feet all day, who's a walker playing whatever, whose feet and ankles hurt, that so much, if it's repetitive and ongoing, can be related directly to foot imbalances. And it's something we continue to pay big attention to, something we talk about all the time with coaches and trainers and therapists, that if you're dealing with problems above, then sometimes we see if it's persistent, we want to pay attention to foot mechanics. We talked about the fallacy and fallacy. Is fallacy a word?
Sure, fallacy.
Fallacy of playing in pain. Wrote the article like in 07, 08, and the whole thing was about exactly what it says, that if they're paying you millions of dollars a year as a professional, as a very serious college player, and we know it's filtered down over the decades to children, and then it's a big deal, is that playing in pain's become routine. It's expected. Hey, LeBron, your elbow's killing you. You know, Kobe's got his fingers taped up. War of attrition.
What about during the football season? We talk about, you know, there is an injured list, but I can hear you saying everybody's injured. If you asked the whole team, raise your hands if you're hurt.
Raise your hand if you're not.
Everybody's got to be hurt to some degree, but they've got to play.
Well, the nuances between injury and soreness is something that trainers and therapists and doctors are dealing with all the time. It's still a great question. There is no exact science, but my point was, even today, you know, we talked about last month, it's fitness month, it's May, people are getting active, getting more and more active, and the idea of overdoing it, the so-called terrible twos, you know, which is either you're doing too much too soon, too aggressively. You know, I felt we had this one mom who's both her girls are skaters and very, very good skaters, and she's a dentist, decided to become a skater. Figure skating. I guess she always liked it. She's in her maybe middle 30s, and was skating 4 or 5 days a week. Her ankles were killing her. Probably too aggressive, too much, too soon. Or the jogger. You know, you've done, what, 14 marathons, am I right? And, you know, when you would talk about maybe getting yourself ready to do another one or even getting yourself ready to get ready for the first one, it's so easy to overdo it. So if you're hurting, you should be paying attention to... What's the term?
Intelligent rest.
You got it.
Your two favorite words.
Intelligent rest. And what does intelligent rest mean? It really means to take into account what kind of rest we're talking about. Are we talking about, gee, I can't do any more running if I'm a runner, be a walker? Are we talking about, really, I got to shut it down and not do anything physically because my ankle's killing me? Does it mean I just can't be play in the games? My son or daughter for a couple of weeks. It means lots of things. So you need to be informed on what you're dealing with in that. And it also means that we're dealing with kids, if you need medicine to participate, you're probably over the line. So if your son or daughter needs a 2 Advil once, twice a day in order to be able to continue to show up and practice, you need to find out why the problem is happening, and you need to look at schedules, and you need to look at intensity. Playing in pain is never smart. We mentioned in one of the articles, drugs and sports, history of drugs and sports runs deep. It's always going on that there are topics... whether it was the rookie of the year or the rookie defensive lineman of the year, the NFL lineman who won the award, then had some questions regarding performance-enhancing medications, maybe, somewhat.
And he took a re-vote.
And he won again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was all sorts of criticisms regarding, gee, does the NFL, you know, pay attention, or aren't there any guidelines? This is a topic that's going to never end. One of our previous guests, Dr. Marty Krause, psychologist, psychiatrist, brought an article in for me, saw him in the office a couple of weeks ago. It was about, you know, the future of genetics, the whole idea of genetically programming, whether it's an athlete or a farm animal or whatever it is, and the fact that this is a real challenge. And in the article, and I wanted to reiterate it when we were talking about it recently, we talked about the fact that as long as serious sports have been around, drugs have been around, whether it was alcohol, whether it was amphetamines or speed, whether it was all the things that have been legal in sports medicine, sports. Painkillers, prescription painkillers, over-the-counter anti-inflammatory medicines, muscle relaxants, et cetera, et cetera.
They've always been around. They probably always will be.
They probably always will be, and they serve a tremendous purpose, and under good supervision and good medical guidance, these medicines help. It does sometimes bring into question, especially when you're talking about youth sports, the fact that it's such overdue. It's such overkill in so many instances, schedules and demands, and younger and younger ages. It's not for everybody, and this is one of the compromises. If you have a young gymnast, young tennis player, volleyballer, figure skater, any of these sports where they start so young, dancer, and you are in vigorous 3-4 day, 5 day a week, quote unquote training, then it's a challenge.
It's one thing or the other, isn't it? You talked earlier about this large percentage of children who aren't active at all, and then on the other side of it, you've got this fraction of children who are constantly on the go.
Yes. Now, these kids are usually very high achievers. They're usually very good students. They come from great families. You know, when we had Tanya Lysacek on, we talked about, boy, what she said the same thing like Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. She said that in Evan Lysacek Day. I remember when she gave a little talk. It was such a great speech where she talked about it takes a village. She was thanking the school district. She was thanking all the doctors that ever worked with Evan. She was thanking all the individuals who helped in so many areas because it's so tough. It's such a challenge. So you're right. You have the one extreme, and you have the other extreme, and it's it's the almost always super exciting high end of the high achievers, but the challenge again of the hypocrisy of throwing these athletes into next to impossible demands, and then being quote unquote surprised when we find out that at least half of the performance-enhancing baloney is performance-surviving. At least half over the decades. Exhausted, you needed medicine, you needed to, and that it's true that performance was enhanced, and this has always been the challenge, and that doesn't mean there weren't plenty of cheaters, maybe half or more, again, who had nothing wrong. We're not rehabilitating or hurting, looking for an edge.
The edge.
And then someone would say, well, what kind of culture puts you into this kind of demand, you know, needing an edge? You had to be excited, Chris. And again, if you want to listen to some past Sports Doctor Radio shows, we're in the middle of gleaning some of our old special shows that we're going to put back up on the website. We do have the 2010 shows on the website. You want to go back to some of these 3 years' worth of newspaper articles. You want to see some of the fabulous videos with all of the Olympics and the NBC5 coverage with the figure skating. Go to sportsdoctorradio.com. You could also catch that great Tribune article that Doc has right prescription for sports talk radio. That was in the paper a couple of weeks ago. And that crazy picture me is up. That was a great article. You'd go to sportsdoctorradio.com, check any of that out. If you have a question or comment, you could email us, email me, drrweil, sportsdoctor@yahoo.com. We're always interested in the opinions, questions of our listeners. The article was fun. I think, you know, a friend of mine said, boy, if you have a radio show, you got a little bit of controversy. So I thought he threw in there a couple lines that was fun. He had a quote of mine, which was that I'm the biggest secret in sports radio. He had the quote that nobody does what we do.
That was the
Is
end.
Is that controversial, you think? It's got a little edge to it, doesn't
sure.
it?
Sure. Well, you talk to somebody for a long, long time, and you don't know what quote is going to get taken out. I think somewhere along the line.
See, that's such
I
a
said,
great.
I said preparation is good, yes. And that got in there.
Yes, that's such a great point. I have found that out, and you can imagine if somebody is really, really, really involved with media, what it's got to be like, because you have no idea. I found that out as a columnist, which was that the first big surprise was that you don't write the headline. The newspaper does. So you really don't know what the headline, you know, you know what your focus is. You're really not sure what the headline is. And you, in an interview, of course, you have no idea what's going to be. Or when they do something with the TV, with some of the different, the Olympics, and whatever, I had no idea what they were going to show from the NBC. So that's a great point. That's a great point when you bring that up. You don't know, but I thought
you don't know about the editing.
yes, you don't. I wanted to touch a little bit on, you know, we talk sports injuries, we talk overuse, we talk use the word compensation a lot, and now we see the latest thing with Tiger Woods. wanted to bring this up. You know, we had Paul Calloway on the show last week. Paul is the one of the gurus of performance golf fitness therapy, the first physical therapist of the PGA Tour. And he was talking a lot. This is before we knew about Tiger's neck woes.
He was just playing at the Players' Championship, and in the fourth round, middle of the fourth round, he wasn't in contention. He wasn't going to win, but he withdrew with pain in his neck.
Yes, pain in his neck. You know, he's been fighting, you know, coming back so far successfully. That knee surgery from last year, had a couple of different knee procedures. And like Paul said, sometimes if you are nuancing a, gee, you know, you got to change a little bit of this so that that knee feels better or proper or optimum. And you're moving this a little different. You're moving that. All of a sudden, gee, you're jerking your neck around or you aggravated something else. This happens all the time when somebody says, well, you know, I thought I could run through this, Dr. Weil. You know, my heel was hurting and, gee, you know, now my other knee's hurting me. And, you know, now my back hurts because you're favoring it. You're compensating. So it's a good lesson to learn if you see that you're dealing with a problem of the lower extremity, for example, whatever it is, then you want to deal with the problem. You don't want to be trying to favor it. You know, I'm not running quite the same, Chris, because I can't push off that foot the same. The ankle hurts. 4 weeks later, I'm telling you, gee, you know, this other hip is bothering me. So sometimes we'll see we need to pay attention. You know, we talk sports psychology all the time. You know, I think at sometimes the high expectations, you know, we've spoken a lot in the past on the Sports Doctor. Again, 90.9 FM here on WDCB. Dr. Bob Weil here with Chris Fox. Ben Roethlisberger, hope the man learned a real lesson here.
Well, he was suspended for 6 games. Yes, now that could be dropped down. He didn't wasn't charged,
no.
Correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't charged with anything, but just putting himself in bad situations.
Yes, I think the message... this again, it's a world of entitlement. Entitlement starts very, very early in athletes. The best young boy or girl on the team, the best kid in high school, let alone as you get older, the best. And I think, you know, whether you're Tiger Woods and you fall off two cliffs thinking, I'll do whatever the heck I want, or you are to a different, maybe lesser, maybe not lesser extent. Even the mighty Pittsburgh Steelers, with a 2-time Super Bowl champion, Roethlisberger, were 2 inches away from letting this guy go, from telling him, you know what, you don't represent us. Great lesson to learn for any young athlete, superstar. I remember talking to some of the great stars, I won't mention names, in the world with the Bears or Cubs, and one of the points of one of the athletes was, you know, I haven't written a check in 10 years. His point was, no one lets me pay for anything. Everybody's, oh, you know, wants to be around me, wants to kiss my rear end.
And that's nice, but you can kind of take advantage of that.
You got to pay
attention.
Sounds
like he might have done.
I think Jim Vickery in sports psychology used to say, you got to pay attention to that. And so many of the teams at all levels pay very character, your behavior. Let's not have athletes fathering 4 children from 5 women. You know what I'm saying?
Well, did you see the NFL Combine where before the draft, they, of course, want to know how high you jump and how much weight you can lift, but they also want to know everything about your background.
Yes, they do, and in a way, they're looking to see, and it goes to show you still can make mistakes. But there's a tremendous amount of value in paying attention to being a role model. And this is one of the great things about a young man like Evan Lysacek, who's a tremendous role model for children to look up to. And let's see what happens, man. Don't forget to vote.
Okay. He's down to the final four, as you said before. Our time is up. Dr. Bob Weil. See you next week.
Yeah, Chris, next week, Athletico, the head of performance, along with one of our old guests, Joe Bresingham. Looking forward to so tune in.
I'm Chris Fox. Thanks for listening. Please tune in next week to another edition of The Sports Doctor.